the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome to an episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast where we're supposed to have a guest, but
Can I be a guest?
He's not here yet. Yeah, okay, there, guest.
All right. First time caller, long time listener. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. So what do you bring to the table? Talk to me about can I just say that I've been out shoveling snow today, Len? Like it must be at this point like three times. And every time I go, there's more snow. It's heavier. And I just looked outside again before coming downstairs, and it's still coming. It's still coming down.
Well, the proximity to the lake, where you're located, unfortunately, you get hammered with snow a little bit more than the rest of us. We got snow. I don't think it's nearly as much, but it's still falling over here.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning's going to be fun when you wake up to see the mountain of snow ready. At the very least, we're not in Buffalo. For a number of different reasons.
God, yeah. It's funny. I was talking to my neighbor today. I actually bought my neighbor a $50 gift card for all the help he gave us and continues to give us with snow because we got like a fair-sized driveway. And last year when I was like on the shelf, I couldn't shovel snow for like the entire winter, basically from January all the way until the end of the winter. I was in the boot. So yeah, I gave him a thing today. And I did try and do their sidewalk, my neighbor's sidewalk, and I usually try and do it on both sides. But every time I went out there, I ended up doing it again and again. And this was the final time I went out to shovel. I just said, "Fuck, I'm not doing it. I can't. Like I'm running out of steam here, man. I got a job and all this, you know, all this other stuff." Although my dog really liked it. I'm lucky, Scoop. If I leave him outside, no leash, he doesn't really do anything. And so he brings his ball out, and we just, you know, roughhouse a bit. And I shovel, bury his ball. He gets it and brings it back. It's not bad.
Joey, I think this is going to be the show. So everybody, thank you for joining in. This has been a fantastic episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. And you'll tune in with us on Monday because we have a wild show. It's going to be a little bit later in the evening. 9 o'clock will be starting the show this coming Monday because Joey's going to be somewhere warm.
Yeah.
Not in snowy Southern Ontario.
Absolutely not.
Sitting on a beach somewhere, drinking mojitos, soaking in the sun. And
I just told my brother that he's got to pick up the mail when he's here, not to leave it, because we both have a little bit of mail coming from some friends of ours. So, yeah, interested in seeing how that goes. Can I just say I was playing around with this thing called the Bitcoin Bank today that a friend of ours sold on Amazon for a bit, and I just absolutely dummied my thumb. You can't even really see it because the light is right there, but it is so sore and I can't really feel the nail bed. What happened? It's pretty bruised up.
And, what is this thing? Hey, you,
it's like a metal plate stamp thing. And yes. So I had to get a big mallet because you need a big mallet, right? Something with big enough surface area that you got to be able to hit that thing hard on the first shot. And
that's so stamp for people that are not aware, it would stamp the particular letter or whatever.
It's letters, yeah. Which I don't normally use, but I thought I'll give it a go. And this is why the punch works better, right? Because the punch you do like whatever the certain letter, like which
or number.
Which letter is it? Right, exactly. Yeah. It's more of a matrix style thing. And this one, like some of the letters work really good, like O worked really good, L worked really good. I think I tried almost all of them. I did some of the numbers too, just for shits and giggles. But holy Christ, Len, like some of them, like the W, you just cannot get the thing to stick. Same with like the letter I or the T. Anything where if you hit one side, the pin could slip, it was slipping. And so I told our buddy who gave me the Bitcoin Bank, I'm like, yeah, first of all, the thing is great. I went through two plates, like trying out the pegs, and I would just recommend to people, if you're ever hammering something into a plate, like if you're doing a seat or whatever, do it on a concrete floor. Because I'm lucky here, I have some, like very little, but some unfinished flooring here next
to
my
HVAC. You beat up the concrete though, eh?
No, you don't. Because you got the plate. No, you get the plate and the pin, and you can actually tap. Once you hit it hard, you get another tap, right? And it's not that bad, but
why not a piece of wood so it gives a little bit of give underneath? And
maybe
I haven't tried this yet. I'm waiting to get my hands on something like this so I could give it a shot and give some feedback on how I'm going to screw it up. and then you don't follow in my footsteps and you do it
so,
the right way.
So I've been doing that. I'll also in CBP product testing, Keystone sent me a Keystone Pro that I fudged around with a bit yesterday. I gotta try it out some more, maybe tonight if we only go half an hour, which would be great. I might try it out a bit tonight and see and play around with it. A lot of cool hardware out there, so I do want to thank them. I'll probably put a review up of that unit when I'm good and ready once I've played around with it a bit.
Do it before Ben does his.
It's an old unit. It's an old unit.
I'm just kidding. Remember the last time you were doing the cold card and you were just fooling around with it, and all of a sudden Ben released this hour and a half, 2 hour long.
Hey, you know, Ben, God bless him. Like, he doesn't have a 9 to 5. I feels like now I have like a 6 to 6, honestly, some days. So as you know, you and I are familiar with the line of work that we're in.
And Paulie's talking about me using tools. Man, I used to work construction in the summer, so I'm familiar with how to use tools.
I just rebuilt the plumbing under my sink. Like, I know how to use a tool, but fuck, man, like, sometimes the thing slips and you, like, trust me, okay, if you've ever stamped out a seed phrase like this, normally you use the punch, and the reason you use the punch is because it's more convenient for that kind of monotonous job. You don't use stuff like the letters, because if you make a mistake with the letters, what are you going to do? You're going to go over top of it? You can't. If you go beside it, you're going to run out of space if you make too many mistakes on each word. And man, like, if you're swinging the hammer on that thing and you got to connect on the first strike, it's not like a nail where you can tap it in and then start swinging hard. The first swing has to be hard. That's different from every other time you use a hammer. So I will not entertain this slander about not being able to use tools. I know how to use tools, but this one was a little more difficult than usual.
I want to do it on washers. I seem to think that's the best course of action. It's the cheapest, in case you do screw things up, then you can just get another 3-cent washer and replace it. Plus, you know, you put it on the bolt and you tie it down with a nut, and you just shove that up your anus and you're good to go. You could go just put anywhere in the world, take your keys with you, and nobody's wiser. Just make sure you sit down properly, because I'm guessing if that thing pinches the wrong way, oh man, that's going to hurt. So yeah, be very careful when you shove it in there and use the proper amount of lubrication, because
it's funny. So Jordan in the chat is asking, how do you make a mistake on a punch? You don't make mistakes on, but if you, like I was saying earlier, if you have lettered pegs, it's not even about making a mistake. It's more about if you tap it in a way that the thing slips, or you don't get the letter in there all the way, or whatever. You basically have to either punch over top of it or move over. And it's, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's not worth it. There's a reason why these guys that sell the seed plates, you know, the cold card accessory, the coin kite stuff, there's a reason they do it with a punch and with the matrix setup, because it's more forgiving, obviously, but also because it's just not as tedious and monotonous, and you're less likely to completely, you know, fudge your thumb up. I was showing my wife, there's like a pretty good bruise on the front of my thumb too, which I'm not really happy. Yeah, I sent it to the person, I won't name names obviously, but to the person who we were talking with from CoinKite, and I was like, listen, if you guys are going to send us some stuff, I would love if you included a punch, because I'd like to try one of your punches out before I go somewhere else and try someone else's. And I sent her the picture of my thumb, and she goes, well, that's proof of work. Yeah, that's one way to describe it.
I like Paul. Paulie's saying he's going to use his washers, then use that to build a piece of furniture. And if I can make one recommendation, if it's something along the lines of a shelf, and in that shelf is where you could place your ASIC miner, then you're really closing the loop there. So I think that's a perfectly good use of using the washers, and it's a good way to stick it to the man and earn some Bitcoin KYC free.
What do you want to talk about here for like 20 minutes? We could do,
man,
could do,
you know what?
We could spitball with the chat. We could spitball with each other.
You know what? I'll talk to you with what I wanted to talk about with Jordan. And okay, I was hoping, and you know, maybe I'm being presumptuous here, I'm hoping he was going to want to talk about his previous employer being BitBuy, and the fact also they were purchased by WonderFi some time ago. And well, I could just right off the bat, you know, we had the dilution of shares that took place today from WonderFi, and $5 million they raised as a result, and it caused their stock to tumble 20-25% at the open. It was quite a drop. A lot of investors were not too happy, but they need money, they need capital, and this is one way to raise it if you have a publicly traded company. So, you know, I mean that, and there's also other things. We know we have the BitBuy trade that's going to be coming out, expected to go live Q1 of this year. And this is going to be offering free trades for equities and ETFs. only available for U.S. equities and ETFs, so it's not going to be available for you trading on a TSX.
Why is that? Because like it would be available to Canadians, but you couldn't buy TSX equities, right?
So they're using the API, which is going to be from Alpaca Broker, and they're U.S. based, and they only have access to U.S. equities, and through there, they're going to be able to make the trades all commission free. So Alpaca is the one that's going to be able to facilitate those trades, and the API is going to be used by BitBuy. So that's the reason why. So Alpaca, I don't think, has any availability or access to the Canadian markets, which is okay. I mean, it is really what it is. But the one thing it does offer, like I mentioned, free trades for equities and ETFs. So it's kind of rivaling Wealthsimple, but it's going to be also offering pre-market and post-market trades as well, which Wealthsimple right now doesn't offer. Having that option available to BitBuy users, that gives them a lot of flexibility moving forward. So they're going to be primarily in exchange for, we'll call it, digital assets. And on top of that, they'll give you the opportunity that you could buy equities and keep it within the BitBuy umbrella, which to me seems rather bullish for this. They could attract a lot of new users depending on how they roll this out and what sort of strategies they employ and differences compared to Wealthsimple.
I take issue with that. I don't think you're like wrong for sure, but I think the pipeline's a lot less friction going from equities to Bitcoin than people who sign up for BitBuy and then use BitBuy to buy equities. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, so talk to me about that. What do you think?
So you're a Wealthsimple user, and I use it as well. And you could buy and sell freely any Canadian, and I guess even the American. I think if you buy some sort of subscription or something like that, but we'll go to the base unit. So the base subscription is basically $0. You get free trades. If you want to do American, you can't do it with Wealthsimple on the free. You have to pay something else. And with that, you only then get to make trades during the core hours between 9:30 and 4 o'clock. If you want to go outside that and you want to trade Amazon stock, if you want to trade Apple stock, whatever the heck you want to trade on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, well, then BitBuy will be able to offer you that wide selection of stocks that are available down south. Also, you could do it for free. And on top of that, you could then make the trades. I know it may not be a big thing, but pre-market and post-market, sometimes there's a lot of activity.
I think that's pretty big, Len. Because most people now see Twitter and all the pre and post activity where 10 years ago they didn't, right? Now it's like a big deal for a lot of traders, including me and you. Like you and me talk about pre-market activity a lot with the group chat, probably with other people as well. Like the stuff is out there now for the average person to look at. I think that's a big draw.
Yeah, I that's what I think that's going to be one of the selling features, the selling points of what BitBuy is going to be offering. And Romel's talking about there's also fractional shares. He's mentioning that with Wealthsimple. I would imagine, but without confirmation, I don't know that the BitBuy option would also provide you fractional shares. But again, I would have loved to have gotten some more information about that from Jordan, because you know this is something that's going to attract a whole bunch of new users. WonderFi, I know they're into staking. BitBuy as well. And they're into the shitcoins, BitBuy as well. But, you know, give them a little bit more users under their umbrella. They could keep them within that whole ecosystem. Maybe they could try to extract more money from their users like that. I mean, maybe I'm using the wrong term, but a way to make themselves more profitable moving forward.
I don't really have a problem with some of these Bitcoin exchanges that offer staking. Like Wealthsimple does staking. I know ShakePay doesn't do it. They may at some point, like, because I know they're, you know, they're selling Ethereum because they have a demand, there's demand for it, right? And I don't necessarily hate that those exchanges offer that, because what I want, and I think what you want, and maybe the direction that we're going, or at least I'm going, is that if we really are the superior asset, and I think that's the case, don't get me wrong, but I don't really care if we are exposed to people for the first time because they use a platform that stakes and that platform also sells Bitcoin. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really mind that. And I think that it's going to become, as altcoins fall off as part of securities enforcement, which I think is also coming, you know, with haste. I believe that most Bitcoin only, most altcoin exchanges before they go Bitcoin only will offer some of these other kind of, you know, profit-based services. You know, whether you view Ethereum staking as profit and ETH that comes from staking as profit, it's up to you, really. Probably you don't if you're listening to this show, but you know, those guys ultimately have some responsibility to their investor base, and that investor base is going to be clamoring for margins, man. And margins come from people who are using your service. So ShakePay, I don't know if they'll do that. I know they have a couple of other products in their suite, including the card, including the savings, including all that stuff, which is good. But let's see if the other exchanges go that route, or they go the route where they offer something on the Ethereum network. I don't know. What do you think? Like, is that, I kind of drifted there a little bit, but whenever I talk about this, this is kind of always where I end up. Like, I always end up thinking that maybe this is what's coming, and, you know, should I care about this? Should I lose sleep over this? I'm starting to think that maybe not is the answer.
There's two ways to look at it. If you're an investor in a particular company, like you're in WonderFi, and you're trying to have your investment grow as much as possible, then offering those type of services, I think it's beneficial for you as an investor, as a user for the service, though. And they're offering something like this. And I'm looking at BigBuy, for instance. I don't want to pick on them, but, you know, we're going to have Jordan.
Topic du jour. Yeah, that's where all the research is today.
So currently, and I'm looking at their website, they have three different coins, I'm going to say, shitcoins that they have available that you could stake, and three more to come. So the ones they have available right now are Ethereum, Solana, and Polygon / Matic. And moving forward, they say they're going to be having Polkadot, Cardano, and Cosmos.
Let me ask you something right off the hop. What? Given the landscape and the way the terrain is kind of taking shape, do you think they ever make it to offering all those tokens or no?
Yeah, I think so. So there are three of six already there. I don't know why they haven't done the other three, but I don't think that regulatory reasons is preventing that, because if there were any regulations that were in the way, they wouldn't be able to offer staking service for the three that they already have. So I don't see what Polkadot, Cardano, and Cosmos differs from Ethereum, Solana, and Polygon. I'm clumping them all in the same boat. But I just want to go into the weeds here. I don't know much about the other ones, but Ethereum, I have a little bit more information than the rest, which is unfortunate. With it, you go into staking for Ethereum, and regardless of the fact that you can't withdraw, we pretend you could. So when you stake with Ethereum, you're getting some sort of yield. Not only that, Ethereum right now has some sort of burn schedule. So every time is it a block mined, or I don't know how it works, but so if you look at the way it is, they're burning at this and at the same time giving away. Like something doesn't
calling it deflationary. So I'll tell you a little business on air here. I mentioned this on the Spaces last week. My curiosity got the better of me maybe 2 months ago, and I put $100 into like Ethereum and staked it on Wealthsimple, just sat there. And I was talking to, I think, maybe Mike Hobart in the space on Friday.
By the way, you're going to get ripped for it.
So that's okay. I've talked about this before. It's our responsibility on this show to try and connect dots. Because what you're talking about are questions that no one seems to have answers for, right? Like, you ask people how this stuff works, how it's possible. I have no fucking idea. So I'll tell you a couple things that I learned on Friday asking people who are in kind of adjacent spaces. One is, the Ethereum staking reward is not steady. It's based on what did the guy say? It's based on the number of people who are staking in your pool or platform or something. So if other people pull, I guess you lose stake. And since you can't pull, this is what I told the guy. I said, if I look at my staking rewards or whatever, it's like cents every week, fine. But the problem is it's going up and down. How can it be going up and down if you can't pull out? Shouldn't it be going up as more people are doing this? Like, I don't understand that. Maybe Wealthsimple is doing something or whatever. Like, but the point is, and I said this on Friday, the point is, much to your point as well, it's like a black box. How can you be sure of anything that's going on in there? There's no way for you to know what the reward is, how much is in there, who owns what. Like are those staked rewards part of the pre-mine, part of people who like got some sweetheart deal from the Ethereum? There's no way for you to know. So how can you put any amount of money in there and be confident about that? That's number one. All that stuff is number one. Number two is, if the staking rewards, and I don't know what else to call it, staking profits, staking rewards. If the staking rewards can be set, why can't they be changed by the foundation when it's convenient? Again, this is that idea that if code is not governing your protocol, then someone is governing your protocol. And that defeats the whole purpose. Like, what, I don't understand how anyone can look at this stuff and think ultrasound money, which is constantly what's parroted by the Ethereum heads. How can that be? It doesn't make any sense. And so to your point about the withdrawals, I saw maybe CoinDesk or something on Twitter. They're piloting or they're beta testing, I think, the network that's going to allow for withdrawals. I forget the name of it now. Simf something Shanghai? Or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so they're piloting it now. But the other thing I've talked about on this show and we've talked about before is like, how low would the Ethereum price be if the people who were staked during the recent sell-off could take their Ethereum out? It would be so much lower. So right. much lower.
Well, like, just even a little bit for sure, because you have more people selling this sell pressure.
And like, I think about all these things together and I just am like, I'm dumbfounded. And that's on like a pretty, so Wealthsimple, say what you want. They offer a bunch of garbage on there, like Ethereum and all kinds of other shit coins. Say what you want about them. Fine. They're a respectable, by and large, transparent platform, and nothing about Ethereum is advertised, made transparent. It's all opaque. There's barely even a warning when you stake about how you won't be able to pull your coins out, by the way.
Like, that's like simple. They do make
barely. It's on a page with other information
about, they're covering their asses there,
but they're not really helping you at all. Mm-hmm. Right. And so this is what I mean. These companies, like, I look at Wealthsimple and I think these guys are generally on the same page as you and me, right? They offer things, they democratize finance, and this fractional shares are important for people, blah, blah, blah. But then I look at this and I think these guys don't even care about them. They don't care. Like, they just could give two shits less, period.
If you look at it too, and I'm looking at Bitbuy's rewards for staking Ethereum. I don't know if this is across the board, so maybe I'm picking on them, but I don't really have much else to go off for experience here. They say you earn 4-5% yearly with Ethereum. Now, given the fact that you could get a U.S. Treasury,
keep talking. I got to look this up. Keep talking.
Okay, even if you get like a 6-month at Treasury, you're going to get some very favorable comparative, if not even better, to what you get with ETH. And what you're going to be getting in the end is the ultimate shitcoin, which is the US dollar. So why would anybody want to go out and risk anything with Ethereum when you could get something more stable, more concrete, still a shitcoin, but it's one that we know what's going to be going on, what it's going to be used moving forward. It's going to be the world currency, at least for the next little while, US dollar. So I'm looking at that. It doesn't make sense why I would even contemplate staking with Ethereum when there's something better that's available and protected and so forth. But I just want to go back a little bit. Like, I don't understand, and I'd love for somebody to give me information. How could you fucking burn and then you could dish out staking rewards? And that, as you said, where does it come from? Does it come from the foundation? Or I don't know. So it's like you're burning the candle on both ends. But this is more, I would imagine, just a it's just a gimmick. I would imagine they could mint more as they see fit. They could do whatever they want.
They just changed the policy. They can change it. If it changes once, it can change again. Period. That's the whole problem.
And it's not like you could simply go out and run your own node. You have to have 32 Ethereum. In order to even, is that what it is nowadays? I don't even.
It's high.
That's for staking.
The number is, it's high.
That's for staking. It's not for running a node. Sorry, my mistake. I'm totally oblivious, I guess, with respect to the ins and outs with Ethereum. And I'm kind of happy at that because I didn't spend too much time or effort looking into it. But there's just too much questions surrounding that. But then I go down a list here. Solana, it's like only going to be like 1% more for yearly APY and 2% more for Polygon. And you're talking now, Solana is pretty bad, and Polygon is, you're really going down a list here. And the amount of ups and downs that you're going to get, the volatility between the two of those two could be just astronomical. If there's going to be a bear market, like a continuous bear market, these are the ones that are going to get absolutely wrecked. They're the ones that people are going to pull up first. There's the one that people that have the most, including the people that the insiders over there that got paid initially, got their the initially minted coins, they're going to pull out as well. They're going to want to make as much money as they can and go to the next project that they'll create and try to pump as the next best Bitcoin. Fuck them, man. This is all just garbage. And really, it's just fiat in a digital asset world. No doubt about it. There's no difference in this. It's, you have a commercial bank that could get an account with the central bank, and with that, they'll be able to create new new wealth, or sorry, new money with loans and so forth, and they'll be able to pass on whatever cost to the customers and users and just continually create more money and more money and just create more profit through this. And it's just fiat in a fucking digital world, digital asset world. Yeah. We're trying to get out of this. We're trying to unplug from this. Every time we buy Bitcoin, we're opting out. We're saying with our dollar, we're voting with our dollar, saying we don't want to continue with this bullshit. We want to have a hard money system. And none of these represents anything close, remotely close to hard money.
I think you're right about that. I think if I look at even the Keystone hardware is a good example of this. So they, I don't know if any other hardware wallets are doing this. Obviously, the cold card is Bitcoin only, but they're Bitcoin only from the get-go. And you know, when I think about the Keystone, when you got the firmware for the first time, Len, it actually asks if you want Bitcoin only or altcoin included. And they make note on the website that the Bitcoin hardware is more secure because there's less basically room for attack, less surface area. And so I think that if you're buying a Keystone wallet, and then that client base has, there's enough demand in that client base for a Bitcoin only firmware, that's a good sign, right? That's what I mean. Like, you expose people to other stuff, but then they always make it to Bitcoin, right? Over enough time, everyone kind of makes it over here. And even Vitalik, I tweet this every so often, like, even Vitalik doesn't only have Ethereum. Like, if that guy's not all in, how can you be all in? What are we talking about? Bankless guys crying on air about Ethereum. How can you be all in if Vitalik is not all in? What are you missing? How can you fuck this up so badly?
He's been in this space for a long time. So he had Bitcoin long before. I see where you're getting at it. You should have liquidated and converted it all into ETH, because if he believed in it, that he'd be 100% into that.
It's his project. It's his project.
I agree. I 100% agree. And you know, one person that seems to be switching over to more of the Bitcoin side of things is Brian Armstrong from Coinbase, the CEO.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah.
There, speculation is because there may be the ruling coming out with the SEC versus Ripple. And if it's a ruling in such a way that it shows that all these are deemed to be securities, well, Coinbase then has a lot of things which are considered securities. And he's kind of covering himself in case it does go down that path. He's showing himself to be a born again Bitcoiner. It's just very interesting, the timing of this and what he's doing right now. It's kind of sad. Like, I bought Bitcoin from Coinbase. That was the first place I bought Bitcoin from. It's because at the time, I don't think there was any other option to me, at least any other option that was easily accessible to myself. And to watch them go down this path where they're offering so many shitcoins, when you could do those online courses, quote unquote, and get offered those free shitcoins, immediately convert that into Bitcoin. And then, but you see them do this over and over again, and it kind of, they deviated from the course which brought them to the dance. And I hope they go back to what really brought them here. You know, really what brought them here was Bitcoin. Swan is going to be doing an IPO in the not too distant future. That is going to give some a challenge to Coinbase in terms of a credible, regulated, publicly traded exchange. It might light a fire under Coinbase's ass between that and also the decision from the SEC. That's, from what I understand, days away. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, Coinbase is, my original thesis when I bought Coinbase was that they would help to pioneer and create the legislation that allowed for them to trade alts and allowed for other people to trade alts. And then they would pull up the ladder behind their, you know, monster treasury, monster balance sheet, monster legal team, monster everything. And they just did absolutely nothing for 2 years after they went public, nothing to support those ecosystems. And like you mentioned now, Armstrong is taking the dot ETH out of his name. There was Twitter accounts, you know, don't forget, when people started taking laser eyes out, who were kind of keeping track of the new profile pictures, right, from Bitcoiners. Is there one for people who took dot ETH out of their name? I bet you that thing would just be overloaded in the last month or so.
Well, Coinbase does also do staking on ETH. So they offer that. They rolled out, this is really sad, an NFT platform, and it cost them a pretty
you
penny.
You remember that? We talked about that.
And it was very expensive, the amount of money they had to sink in to create that platform. And the volume of trade on there when they first opened it up was abysmal. And it was a colossal flop. It was like CNN Plus, but just the Coinbase version of it. So there's a lot of money that they, in time and effort, they invested in stuff that just never worked. maybe the staking, ETH staking stuff works for them. I don't know. I haven't followed that side of that saga too much. Maybe that's profitable for them. I don't have a clue, but you know what? It's sad to see what's going on with them. But you know what? We'll see what happens. Again, I want to just want to harp up back to the SEC stuff. That's going to be potentially earth-shattering in this space. Is it, if they make a decision that shows everything is a security and it all falls under the purview of the SEC, man, it could be a real shit show for a lot of shit coins. And yeah, a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money as a result. There will be collateral damage with Bitcoin too. Don't expect Bitcoin to be all rosy just because if they're the ones that deem to be the commodity and not security, and the other ones are, everyone's going to start selling everything. And as a result, it's going to be some problems with Bitcoin too. There's going to be some leverage trading and they're going to get wiped off and margin trading and all that jazz. And there's going to be some downward pressure for the price of Bitcoin. Hope it doesn't happen to a big degree, but we need a flush out for the shitcoins. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's not cannibalize too much content here. Maybe we'll wrap it up.
You're not here next week though, so it's
no,
not like
I'm not. I know, but still, like there's a lot going on. We'll wrap it here. Maybe I'll go and take one more pass my sidewalk, and you got another engagement at 8:15 tonight. So that's it.
Wait, before we go, I just wanted to go on one slight tangent here. Did you see the Bank of Canada, they raised rates again today?
Did you see what Tiff said after? They're going to pause. They're done.
Not only that, new legislation is going to be drafted by the House of Commons, by the federal government, to enable all profits that are gained by the Bank of Canada for them to keep it, because there's a shortfall of $522 million over 3 months, and I would imagine it's even larger now. But it's the first time in the Bank of Canada history, from what I understand, is that they lost money. So they have to make up that somehow. Typically, yeah, when they make money, when there's a surplus through the bonds, the holding of bonds and the yield from bonds, well, that money gets funneled back to the Canadian government. And this is not unique to Canadian government. The Fed sends it to the Treasury Department in the States. This is the way that it always operates. But now legislation has to be created to temporarily ensure that all profits are going to be sent to stay with the Bank of Canada so they could make up that shortfall. What a disaster. You know, you are the creator of all the regulations and everything to do with the monetary system in Canada. And you issue the dollar, you manage it, and you still lose money in the end. You still in a quarter or in a year, you lose money. And I say this many times, how can we as businesses, as individuals, have any hope when the institution itself that creates it is losing money? And they could easily create laws and so forth to make up their shortfall. We don't. Whatever they do, we feel the repercussions of that through inflation or through more debt or whatever. It's an absolute shit show when you see that. I can't see this thing lasting forever. It's got to collapse. And
you can see the writing on the wall. It's all over the modern world. It's not just here. It's not just in the States. It's everywhere. And it's getting worse.
Yeah, it's so sad, because then all this that happens is, you know, you look 10, 15, 20 years ago, and it's not like life was fantastic back then, but, you know, you look at what's going on right now with food banks and TTC. We talk about this a lot. Just today, there was some more incidents on TTC.
Syringe guy, yeah.
Somebody chasing somebody, and yesterday there was a stabbing. It's all consecutive days. You have this.
Did you see the age of the kids arrested for the gang?
13.
13 years old.
13. Yeah. You know,
decay, my friend. This is decay.
You have people, kids, that have too much time on their hands. They're taking it out, I don't know why, on TTC employees. I'm going to go even further. I talked about it, that somebody was, one of the TTC drivers was shot with a BB gun. It was a female. Why the hell are you shooting? If anybody, like, it just blows my mind, like a female driver. The kids, you know, they should take these kids, drop them in Central African Republic and have them live over there for a year and just understand how wonderful life is over here when you don't have to deal with famine. You don't have to deal with poor drinking water. You don't have to deal with war. Everything is so much better here. And what are you doing? You're taking, I guess, your frustrations or your bored or whatever, and you're going to the TTC and using that as your personal Call of Duty playground. What is this? And it's getting worse every day. And then you have Mayor John Tory is saying they want to put mental health professionals roaming on a TTC as a way to help stem this.
Instead of cops, what mental health professional is going to grab four kids who are beating the shit out of somebody? What are we talking about?
Even if you put cops, you talk
to them in the middle of a beatdown? Come on. Who's this for? Like, what are we talking about?
It's even if you put cops in there and you have something like really, you could stop this at the source from when it, sorry, not stop. You could stop this as it's happening. You're putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound here. And you're not treating the actual wound. You're not going to the cause of it. You're just treating the symptoms. And what are the symptoms here? It's what we are experiencing with high inflation, with people, they're not able to make ends meet. Food is costing more. People have to go to food banks. Even the TTC is costing more to ride, obviously, yeah. Because, and nothing stays stagnant. And I can't believe it only went up 10 cents or 15 cents, whatever, in a year. It should have went up way more considering the cost of goods, everything else is going up. But I'm looking at this. You said it, decay of society. It is accelerating. Yeah. You had consecutive multiple, now I'm going into states. In California, you had those gun incidences in Moon Bay, I think is one of them. But in 2 days in a row, you had mass shootings in a state which,
control laws, yeah.
And you have it, and over and over again, I remember at a time, and I'm really going on a tangent here, I'm sorry. Do you remember about a decade ago, when Obama, after one of these mass shootings, he went up to the podium because it was, he had to speak. And you could sense, and he was saying it, the frustration he had because he didn't know how to deal with it. And there's no way to, I'm not saying he was the problem or anything. It's just, this is more societal problem. It's just, he was so frustrated that this shit is happening so much. And it happened a lot under his watch, even more under Trump and even more under Biden.
It's getting worse, right? You can say whatever you want about the laws are too lax or whatever, but the one common theme, president to president, party in power to party in power, is that the number just keeps going up, right? It's regardless of what state you're in, regardless of whether it's Democrats or Republicans. These guys often talk about the assault rifle ban. These things are, you're being fed this kind of narrative about, quote unquote, getting better. Things need to improve. We got to ban this, ban that. Gun control this, gun control that. Fine. I'm not expressing a view on that at the moment. I'm just saying that the common theme is that the decay is accelerating and it's coming through in numbers. Like you mentioned, food banks, shootings, test scores, competency levels. You saw Stanford and Harvard today pull out of or file the pull out of official university ranking lists in America.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because the Supreme Court's about to strike down affirmative action probably this year. And so when they strike down affirmative action, Harvard and Stanford want to keep doing these things where they just pick whoever they want based on whatever the social winds are telling them. And to do that, they're going to have to pull out of some of those lists. And when someone says, well, you're discriminating, they're going to say, fuck you, prove it. And it's going to be very difficult. But these institutions in the direction they're going, clear sign of decay. It's a little less tangible, but clear sign of decay, what you're seeing here. Meritocracy is taking a backseat to how people feel and how everyone deserves to succeed in the eyes of some. I would just ask you, do you want, like we talked about before, do you want the guy who's flying your plane to have a competency level that's indicative of his intelligence? Or do you want that guy to have a certificate that was, in no small part given to him because of his cultural identity? I would posit to you that 100% of people who are 30,000 feet in the air would vote all the same way. And people who are on the ground and clamoring for money from folks who are too dumb to see the difference will try and convince you that the opposite is the case. And it's just quite simply not.
It makes me wonder how much of this is a root of, is it China? Because they're funneling a lot of money into financial institutions in the United States and their businesses over there. But it's no doubt about it. And because of that, they could tailor their curriculum however they want. They could tailor whoever they hire based on the donations. And, there's a lot of money. You could take a look to see what I'm talking about, but there's a lot of money that's being funneled in from China. And you know what? They're going to bow down to the winds of whoever gives them the money. So I don't know, man. It's that's the best course of action. If you're going to try to manipulate a society, you start them young, you start them when they have a blank, not a blank mind, but easily that you could mold them in a way that you see fit. And start it there and work your way in, because that, and with TikTok too, another thing that is, very Chinese, pro-Chinese, and those two things, we're in for some real tough years moving forward, because the younger people moving forward, they haven't been given a good shot at life. No. And also they're unfortunately they're getting this education that is tailored to, you know, Chinese, looks like that created by the Chinese, and also TikTok. It's easy to get sucked into that, and you know, the algorithm will feed them whatever they want, but kind of in a way that's, you know, feeding them information that it will be spoon fed to them to make them think a certain way too. So
for sure. Yeah. I'm with you there. Okay. Let's wrap it up. I'll see you in, I guess about 35 minutes, for our second engagement. Folks, thanks for coming. If you see Jordan Anderson on the street, tell him we were hoping he'd show up, but maybe next time. Until we talk to you next, take care of yourselves, all right?
Take care.
Nice. Yeah, okay.